well, church, even though we don't understand everything, that does not mean that God is not a great God. It just means we're human and we don't always get it. Don't always understand. This month we've been tapping into a series titled Truth in the Chaos. Now, I knew what today was bringing, because you don't know me, I'm a preparer. I like calendars. I like things that I can count on and understand that it always doesn't work that way and I need to be flexible, but I did know this morning was coming. So I asked the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to give me a word for all people in the situation that is taking place in our church, and I believe he has an amazing word for you this morning, and I hope you came expecting, because all of us have our own chaos that we live in, all of us. And how do we know what is true when so many different voices are telling us what to do? People are desperately confused. Amen? Amen? Amen, church? They are desperately confused. You know, our news stations even give us different things, right? You might watch Fox News and it says this. Then you watch NBC or ABC. They say something else and you're like, man, a bunch of propaganda. This ain't even news anymore. I don't even know what to believe anymore. Then you got Victory News Station who's telling you something else with a spin of Christianity and telling you the news, what's going on. And then you get like, maybe some real news, right? If you haven't seen that, it's amazing. We love it. We watch it frequently. Victory News. But there's so much out there right now that is so confusing. This month we are tackling the reigning philosophies of our day of postmodernism, relativism, and the popular view of the goodness of man. Now, we've been combating these viewpoints by standing on the absolute truth. And that is the truth of what, church? God's word. That's the truth. And you're like, I don't know, we've been enlightened. Let me tell you, for 2,000 years, people have been enlightened, and God's word has never, ever changed. And it keeps setting people free like it did 2,000 years ago, and even before that with the Old Testament. You think you've been enlightened until you be enlightened by the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. That's why the world says if you trust in the things of this world and the beliefs of this world, it's like you in the ocean being tossed back and forth in the waves. And guess what? Waves keep coming and they're always new. Be enlightened by the power of God's word. This morning marks week number 4 of our current sermon series. Man, we have covered some topics. Church, say topics. Postmodernism, relativism, empty philosophies, and the goodness of man. Man, we hit the ground running, maybe an understatement of what we've done this month. Man, we just smashed up on it. I mean, we went right for it. Pastor Mark and myself have been listening to the Holy Spirit, and we've been doing our best to speak to where people are at in their lives and the chaos that people are currently living with, and giving the good news of Jesus, giving the truth in the chaos. Oftentimes we read stories in the Bible and we hear about the miraculous, right? Isn't that a cool word, miraculous? Oftentimes we read and we hear about these stories of the miraculous, and we focus on the amazing things God did. And the people that God used to get those things done. But we forget about the chaos people were dealing with in those times. Why? Because of this. Often, incredible things happen when terrible things are happening. Are you listening this morning? Incredible things happen when terrible things are happening. The miraculous takes place when human answers end and God's intervention begins. Here's the definition of miraculous. Good to hear you, amen. The definition of miraculous is an occurrence that was highly improbable and extraordinary. Another definition of miraculous is this: an occurrence that came through a divine or supernatural intervention. Many people this morning have facts in their lives, and I have a fact in my life. Walter, Virginia, and kids, you have a fact in your life that you have plane tickets in about 8 to 9 days from now. You have a potential home for rent. See, a lot of us have facts in our lives, but we need God's truth, His miraculous, to step in. The truth, the Bible, teaches us that we can do nothing. Church, say nothing. You can do nothing. Let that sink in. You can do nothing. To please God without faith. You can do absolutely nothing. Man, you are striving to do your best. Right? Some of y'all read Romans. If you read Romans, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on now, that was the homework for the week. And did y'all get blessed? If you got blessed, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's word will set you free. It sets you in motion. It sets you free. And it sets you on the right path. But we can do nothing. A lot of us are striving to do things. You are a work-based person. Why? Because you're probably a human. You are doing all these things to earn God's favor, and you're going to church on Sunday, which we got a good house this morning, and I'm sure there's people online. It's great. It's great. Wonderful. You're striving to read your word. You're striving not to cuss and drink and smoke. You're striving to share the gospel. You're striving in all these things, but you can do nothing. You can do nothing without faith. You can do nothing to please God without faith. Why do I say that? Because Hebrews 11:6 says this: and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. I usually study in the New King James, and He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Diligently, sincerely seek Him. It's impossible to please God without faith. Church, we must have faith beyond our chaos. Have to have faith beyond our chaos. The Bible mentions the word faith 16 times in the Old Testament. That's not actually very much. The Old Testament's pretty big. It takes over more than half your Bible. But in the New Testament, faith is mentioned 254 times. That's 270 total times from cover to cover. The word faith is in the Word of God. Now, faith, you got to pay attention, because I'm going to drop some truth bombs on you this morning. Faith is not believing God can do something. Faith is not believing that God can do something. Faith is thanking God in advance for what He is going to do. Okay? Let me prove that with God's word. Let me get the doctrine and the stance of what the Word of God teaches. Because oftentimes many of us pray, oh, Lord, if You would just, oh, Lord, if You want to, or Lord, maybe You can. But faith is thanking God in advance for what He's going to do. Mark 11:24. This is Jesus. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, I want to say this as well. You're going to receive, what this means is not everything that you want humanly desires. It's not that. This is not the prosperity gospel. We don't preach that here because that's not biblical. We like to preach the Bible. See, oftentimes when you're going to receive what God is saying through your faith in prayers, it's what God's will is, not your own human will. That's what he's going to answer. And he says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. Believe that you have received it. And it will be yours. So wait a minute. Hold up, Pastor Harris. What? I have to thank God in advance before I get what I'm asking for? I have to thank God in advance for what I'm asking for. I have to thank him in order to receive it? Yes, and here's the reason why. If you thank God after you have received it, that's called gratitude. If you've already received it and you thank God for it, that's not faith. That's gratitude. Thank you. When you thank God in advance, your faith is activated. It's activated for you to receive what you might not see in front of you yet. That's faith. That's faith. So when God tells you something, even if you haven't seen it actually happen yet, remember, it's God. It's his promises. And by faith, promises can become a reality. Hebrews 11:1 says this. Faith shows the reality of what we hoped for, what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Church, I hope, I'm hoping for, and I'm thanking God in advance for revival to take place in the United States of America. I am hopeful and thankful for that God is going to clean the White House after he cleans the church house. Okay, that's how it works. If my people will humble themselves, he can't clean the White House before he cleans the church house, and he can't clean the church house before he cleans your house. Come on now. Now I'm preaching. Come on. But I'm hopeful for it. I have faith to believe that all these things that are taking place in America, that there's going to be a revival of his presence. It's going to come with his church first, humbling themselves in humility and confessing their sins to a God that can heal them and set them free from the bondage that they live with. I'm believing that. And through that, there's going to be a great revival in America. And I believe a reformation is going to be coming. I'm hopeful for that. I pray that. I have faith to believe that. Does anybody else? James 1:6 says this, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. I want to park there for a second. Church, in your prayers, stop giving God lip service. He knows your heart. He knows you don't mean what you're saying. Let's keep reading. James 1:6. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Let me tell you something. You cannot be loyal to lies and the truth at the same time. You cannot be loyal to fear and faith at the same time. You cannot be loyal to chaos and faith at the same time either. See, faith is the key that releases the resources of heaven into your situation. Faith is the key that unlocks the resources from heaven into your situation. Now, the level of faith that is inside of you will determine the outcome of faith that is around you. We're good at blaming. We're good at pointing fingers. But we're not very good at getting on our knees. you don't have faith for God to move in the midst of your chaos, there's a good chance he won't. Not that he can't. Don't get my words twisted. I'm being intentional this morning. If you don't have faith for God to move in the midst of your chaos, there's a good chance he won't. That's will not. He will not. Not that he cannot, but he won't. Do you know the biggest opposition to your faith most likely is? It's not other people. It's not the critics. It's not Facebook. It's not the chaos. It's not even the devil. It's your own unbelief. This very thing happened to Jesus during his earthly ministry 2,000 years ago. Get this. Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, God's one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, the one that is petitioning, is fighting, is praying and interceding in our behalf right now, the one in the right hand of the Father, the one that's coming back and setting us all free, the one that we're going to be caught up in the air with, the one true God, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus, had something happen like this in his ministry when he was here on earth. Mark 6, 5 and 6. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them. He couldn't do any... Wait. Spoke everything into existence? The one that was at the foundations of the world? Part of the Trinity? The one that we worship? The one that death couldn't even hold? What? He couldn't do any miracles among them because, except to place the hands on a few sick people and heal them. That's depressing. And why? Well, verse 6 tells us, and he, Jesus, was amazed at their unbelief. Amazed at their unbelief. It is probable you are the mountain in the way of your miracle. Get out of the way and watch what the Lord does through your faith in him. There's a lot of things in this life we do not have control over. I want to be 6'5 and play 2 or 3 guard. 6'1. I got dunked on, okay? I'm little. Compared to my position. This is what happens. That's a joke, but you know what I'm saying. When I say that, something strikes your heart. There's a lot of things in this life we do not have control over. But what you do have control over is this. Believing what God said or not believing what God said. Now, I believe the opposite of faith is not always fear. I believe the opposite of faith is not always fear. Here's what I believe. Oftentimes the opposite of faith is certainty. Being sure or positive of the outcome. Are you certain that things are never going to get better? Are you certain that you're never going to amount to anything in life? Are you certain that you're going to end up depressed forever? Are you certain that sickness will never get better? Are you certain that your fear will always rule your life? Are you certain that you're going to be a control freak forever? Are you certain you're going to be a control freak forever? Miss Marilyn said, say that again. Come on, can I get a testimony? Get that lady a mic. Hallelujah. No, but that's for real. Are you certain? The opposite of faith is not always fear, it's sometimes certainty. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, we walk by faith, not by sight. You may have to confess this morning, Lord, I got faith issues. I got faith issues. Faith doesn't always have an exact formula, because faith operates in the impossible, the irrational, and the improbable. Faith does have an order, though. Here's the order. The order's in not being ashamed, not being afraid, and not boxing faith in. Faith is not subject to what is in front. Faith focuses on what is beyond. Faith commands us to do what we cannot do on our own. Last week we talked about how we live with two major kingdoms. Amen? You remember that? If you remember that, say amen. We live with two major kingdoms this side of heaven. It's the kingdom of what? What's the bad one? Oh my goodness. The world. Kingdom of the world. Kingdom of the devil. The one that rules and reigns. Walks around like a lion, seeking to who he's going to destroy and devour. He's walking around this world. The world. The kingdom of this world. And there's another kingdom. It's what? Kingdom of God. Gold star for that one. Well done. You got one for two. That's 50%. That's an F. Sorry. The kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God, these are the two major kingdoms that we live with, and we will until we meet either Jesus in the air or we go to heaven like Miss Fern got to do. She doesn't have to battle. She does not have to battle the kingdoms of this world anymore. She's in the kingdom of God. There ain't nothing that can penetrate that. Amen? The kingdom of God is not like the kingdom here on earth. It's not. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It is supernaturally powerful, and it is eternal. The kingdom of God is activated by faith. Matthew 19:26 says this. Jesus looked at them intently. I'll look at you intently. Jesus looked at them intently. He looked at them intently. Jesus looked people in the eyes intently. And he said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. Jesus looked at them and said, humanly speaking, you are exactly right. Your certainty is exactly right. Your fear is exactly right. Humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Let me refresh your heart this morning. Everything is possible with God. A name change created a destiny for a man named Abram. Joseph in his God-given dreams. The birth of Moses in a rescue basket. The call of Moses from a bush that was on fire and talking to him. David defeated Goliath. Samson's strength to destroy evil. A fiery furnace accompanied by an angel. Daniel's lion den. Gideon's small army against all odds. Nineveh's salvation through a very unlikely repentance. Millions of Jews finding freedom and exodus to a promised land. Millions crossing a Red Sea and an evil army wiped out in a single move. Supernatural manna and quail. A talking donkey. The transformation, redemption, and protection of a prostitute named Rahab and her family. Jericho's walls falling without a single finger laid upon them. Deborah, an unheard of woman warrior, unheard of in those days, led an army of men into battle. Ruth and Naomi saving an entire nation of people. a prophet of God defeating all evil men against him with fire straight from heaven. A birth, a virgin birth of our Savior. A healed leper, a healed blind man, a healed cripple, a woman with an issue of blood. Lazarus and his resurrection. Jesus providing for thousands of people with just a handful of food. Thousands of people with just a handful. Jesus rescued a woman who was caught in adultery. 120, desperate, hungry, searching. Followers of Christ being filled with power from God himself. The biggest religious murderer of his time turned into radical follower of Jesus Christ in writing most of our New Testament. God chooses the church to fulfill his mission on earth. God chooses the church to see signs, wonders, and miracles take place on earth as it is in heaven until his second return. The impossible is possible with God. That is the truth in chaos. Amen? Man, if you believe it, say amen. Now, I don't always understand. I don't always understand why things happen. I don't always understand why my current pain is here. I don't always understand why I have the current chaos. But I'm not called to understand according to the Bible. Right? Church, sometimes you got to get out of your head. Stuck. Because you got to understand everything because you're certain about all this stuff. You are stuck. You are stuck because you're stuck in your head. I said this before. You can miss heaven and go to hell by 1 foot. Everything is here and nothing is in here. I don't understand why some things happen. I don't understand why the current pain and the chaos of a world. I don't understand why Walter and Virginia and family have to go back to Spain. I don't understand it. I don't understand it, but I'm not called to understand according to God's word. Lean not on your own understanding. I mean, it literally tells you, stop it. Stop it. I mean, this is God right now, right? You're going to get one of these, you're going to get one of these, or you're going to get a bunny foo-foo, and you're going to get popped on the head, right? Running through that forest. Church, take this today. Take this today. This is a reminder. Get out of your head. I'm not called to understand. What am I called to do? What am I called to do? I am called to pray about all things. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this. Don't worry about anything. Church, I want you to repeat after me just that spot. Ready? Right now. Don't worry about anything. Now you told yourself. We all struggle with this. Your pastor standing behind this pulpit, I struggle with worrying about things. But don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him, right? I'm telling God what he needs. He hasn't provided it yet because that'd be gratitude, and I'm going to thank him for what he has done, what he's going to do, what he's done in the past, and what he's doing right now. I'm going to thank him. I have faith. And it's going to please God because of my faith. And then what's going to happen? Verse 7 tells us what's going to happen. If we stop worrying, we start praying, and we thank God for what he's going to do, what he's done, and what he's doing right now, then you will experience God's peace. Right? A lot of things you're not going to have yet. Or maybe ever. Because just because you pray about it doesn't mean that God has to say yes every time. He knows the best ways. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But here's the thing. You're going to experience God's peace when you thank him for what he has done. Thank you, God. I'm thankful in gratitude, and I'm thankful in the faith of what you're about to do. And this peace, it's going to exceed anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and our minds as we live in Christ Jesus. lot of people vulnerable in here. You've been vulnerable about everything you have heard from all these things going on in the chaos. You are so vulnerable. So you think you have all the smart answers because you heard this from that person or that, or you watched some video or a million videos, whatever, and then you send them to everyone, right? And you think you're so smart, but God's ways are higher than our ways. And the only way you're going to have peace that exceeds or supersedes your understanding, the only way that you're going to have what God wants you to have is you get out of your head and you get into faith, right? You know what God's word says. You know what God wants to do because he tells us in his word. You know the promises that we have. You know when God speaks because he's speaking. You know what you've heard, and people maybe giving you a word here and there, or maybe there's a great sermon that you heard at the church down the road or something. You know what I'm saying? But maybe you heard something amazing. But where's your faith in it? Where's your faith in it? Where's your faith? Follower of Christ, in your current chaos, are you being faithful in the measure of faith that God has given you? Are you being faithful in that measure of faith that God has given you? Do you understand that faith, the size of, you couldn't even see it if I had it here. What? What's it called? Some sort of seed. Mustard seed. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell something ginormous to move and go into the water. Now, does he mean he physically do that? No, he's talking about the mountain that's in your way. He's talking about that miracle that you need. He's talking about that provision that you've been praying for. But you pray one way and you don't actually believe it. You've been giving him lip service because you think that's the right thing to do instead of giving him your heart in faith. Are you being faithful to the truth of his holy word? Faithful in standing in the miraculous of what God wants to do in your life right now. Not what it looks like, not what it feels like, not what it sounds like, but the way that it should be. We live in a time right now that we need prophecy. What is prophecy? Speaking to things as if they should be, not that they are. Speaking to the things that God wants to do. Edifying, building up, and encouraging. We need to speak to those situations. We need to prophetically say, God's word says, I am healed, and in his stripes, I am healed. I don't want to give lip service. I want to believe this, and I'm going to run to the altar every single Sunday, every single Wednesday, whenever I have to go. I'm going to go, and I'm going to receive it. And I'm going to be like that woman in front of that king and say, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. And the king's going to go, leave me alone, woman. Leave me alone. Here it is. Go, right? And I'm going to receive it, right? We got to be tenacious. We want everything microwaved. Oh, I need prayer, I need prayer, I need healing, I need healing. I didn't get it, so I don't believe it. I mean, you just give up so easy. Nothing great happens. Nothing incredible happens by an easy route, by an easy thing to happen. You need to grind sometimes for it. You need to grind. You need to just get down and get dirty on it. I mean, you just got to say, I am not going to let this go. I'm not going to let this go until I have my miracle. But even if I don't see it, I'll still praise you. I won't give up. I still have faith. Don't give up on America. Don't give up on America. Don't give up on your neighborhood. Don't give up on that person in your family. Don't give up on that coworker. Don't give up on your family members. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up. Do you not know that God chose at this time, at this very hour? This is called the age of grace. The age of grace comes after the prophets. It comes back after all the judges. This is the age of grace. This is the age that the Holy Spirit is among his people. This is the age of the church. God chooses, God chose the church to be the avenue for people to understand Jesus, to know salvation, to understand healings, miracles, signs, and wonders. If you don't believe it, the world never will. You are the vehicle. You are the vehicle. And it's not because you're so great. It's because God chose you. God chose you. God chooses us every day. And he says, where's your faith? Where's your faith? I know you read it. I know that you've seen things before. Anybody with silver hair in here right now? I'm getting some on the sides, so I keep it short. Okay? Anybody with silver hair in here? The Bible says this. That's a crown. That's wisdom. If you haven't told somebody who doesn't have silver hair, or maybe you don't have any hair, you know what I'm saying, you're older. I looked at somebody, they don't have hair, I'm not going to say who it is. But look up. Okay. Why haven't you shared your stories of faith? Do you not think that they need to hear it? You don't think I need to hear it? You don't think anybody? We need to hear what God has done to encourage our spirits and what he wants to do. Okay? If you have silver hair in here and you haven't shared a testimony of what God has done in your life, today's the day. Today's the day. Today's the day. Maybe you need to go on Facebook. Maybe you need to go on, or maybe you don't know what that is. It's like a face and I have a book. Yeah, okay. Maybe you need to call somebody. Maybe you only have a landline. You need to call on a landline. I don't know, right? So, but you got to do something. The way that we defeat the enemy is by the blood of the Lamb and the what? Word of testimony. Too many Christians are being so quiet. And we need a testimony in here. If you can't share it to other believers, you ain't going to share it to anybody who's not a believer. You got to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you be encouraged, and you need to build up, and you need to understand your faith is more powerful. More powerful. More powerful than you give it credit for. It is more powerful. Do you need to be perfect? No. I preach a sermon every Sunday, and my wife can tell you how unperfect I am. Right? Anybody can. But that's the cool thing, is God uses the church, the imperfect church, to spread the gospel to people who are lost and dying. If you think it's all about you, first off, you got pride, and you are the mountain in the way of your miracle. You are the mountain in the way of someone else's miracle, too. Hallelujah. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them intently. Jesus looked at them intently. Church, close your eyes for just a moment, and I want you to picture Jesus, right? He's a Jew. So he's got dark hair. He's got dark eyes. He's tan, Nadia-type tan. I mean, he is tan, right? He is tan. He's probably wearing sandals right now. His hair is probably long. He might be a little dusty and dirty. He's wearing a robe, and he has the most piercing, incredible eyes that when you look at him, you know, not only is that truth, but that man loves me. Now, I just want you to close your eyes and picture this. Jesus is standing in front of you right now. Right now. And he says this. And he's looking at you intently. He says, humanly speaking, it is impossible. It is impossible. But with God, everything is impossible. That family member that is lost, humanly speaking, they're gone. But with God, it's possible. With that sickness in your body, or that person that you know that's sick, or whatever, it is impossible, humanly speaking. They're going to die. They're going to be lost. These things are going to happen. But with God, it's possible. Right? That all things are lost, and evil's taking over and sweeping the land and sweeping my neighborhood. It's sweeping all these things that I know. People are losing their faith. But that is possible only in human speaking. That's going to happen. But with God, there's nothing that's impossible, because everything is possible. Whatever that situation is right now, just picture yourself standing in front of Jesus, and he says, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Hallelujah. Before we close this morning, we're going to step into the impossible. I've titled today's message this. It's simply this: Jehovah. Church, say Jehovah. You feel that, just saying that in the presence of God right now? Jehovah. All of us at some point find ourselves barely hanging on. I've been there in my life. No answers. Nobody around. all hope is lost. In need of a miracle, we need God to do the miraculous and intervene in our chaos. We need God to face our impossible with His possible. But like many humans before us, there are times that we don't really believe. Some of you come in here and you're like, I don't get what everybody's worshiping about. I don't feel anything. Well, that's not God's fault. That's because you did nothing before you came in here and expected to be served. You expected to be served when you should have been serving God all week. And when you come in, you experience the greatest servant of all. See, the problem with the lack of miracles and God intervention is not because God doesn't want to do miracles. It's not because He doesn't want to. Miracles are His nature. He's supernatural. That's His everyday life. That's all He knows. He is the miracle. It's not because God doesn't want to do miracles, but it's because we are filled with all kinds of dysfunctional mentalities. And we're filled with unbelief. Unbelief and unhealthy thoughts. And they're the exact opposite of the truth of God's word. We have faith issues. Man, the facts are, but God's truth is. My current situations are, but God's truth is. The world's philosophies say, but God's truth is. This morning, we're going to overwhelm chaos with faith-filled truths and faith-filled prayers. Jehovah. This is a proper personal name of the God of Israel found in the Hebrew Bible. Here's where it's found in Exodus 3:15. It says this. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh. Another translation is Jehovah. Or it can simply just mean this, the Lord. So let's put in Jehovah. Say this to the people of Israel, Jehovah, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. The name Jehovah is an English translation of the Hebrew name for God, which is, here's the Hebrew name for God, YHWH. Fun fact, ancient Hebrew was written without vowels, only consonants. Oftentimes when I spell, I do the same thing. Why can't we just spell phonetically? I mean, you know what I said. Doesn't matter if it's spelled wrong. That's all it was, right? So YHWH is the Hebrew name for God, and in English it's translated into Jehovah. Jehovah, the Lord, is the true God of the Bible, the creator of all things. Jehovah is the God not of only one people group, but of all people, for all generations, for all of the earth. Did you know you can learn God's nature through God's names? You can learn the nature of God through His names. Now, God knows you by name. On the count of three, I want you to say your name. One, two, three. Harris. God knows us by name. So by faith this morning, we're going to pray to Him by some of His names and ask Him to do something miraculous. On the count of three, I want you to say Jehovah. One, two, three. Jehovah. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. I got one, two, three, four, five. Wait, one, two, three, four, five, six. Six names of God that I'm going to read over real quick, and we're going to pray. But when I'm reading this and this touches your heart, and even if you're at home, you got to stand up. I'm going to ask you to stand in this place, and you're going to receive a prayer with the name of God for exactly what we are going to be praying for. And so if that testimony is for you, I want you to stand to your feet. After I read each name, there's six names we're going to go through. If you are unable to stand physically, you just raise your hands as an international sign of surrender, but it's also a sign of receiving. Okay? So here's number one. Jehovah Shema, which means the Lord is there. Shema is an adverb that simply means there. So together with Jehovah and Shema means the Lord is there. Now God revealed this name at a time when Israel was in rebellion and they were in captivity. God was letting the Jews know that he has not forsaken them, that he was still there, both in their present as well as in their future. The United States of America is in rebellion. And we are in captivity of sin and self. Now, regardless, now make this personal, regardless of what you are going through or what you are headed into, you can take comfort knowing that God is already there. Jehovah Shema is there. If you need God to step in and you've forgotten that he is there, I want you to stand to your feet as I pray. Right now, stand. Father, we just lift you up, Jehovah Shema. We just ask that right now, wherever we're at, whatever's going on in our lives, if we've forgotten that you are there or that you are in the midst or in the future, we ask that right now, we call forth your name, Jehovah Shema. Be there right now in the midst of what we're facing, in the midst of what we're going to go through. God, we are sorry that we've forgotten who you are and whose we are in you. And by faith, we come to you this morning and we remember that you are the God of now, you are the God of the past, and you're the God of the present. You are here with us. We lift up our nation to you. And although we're in captivity, although we feel like we are falling, you are the God that is here and now. Right now, and you're the God in the future. And I just pray for the remnant, the people that truly hold on to your word. And I think there's a lot more than we even realize. God, we just come forth right now and we call forth Jehovah Shema. We ask for you to step in and remind your people that you are the Lord that is there. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Next one is Jehovah Shalom. I looked this up. A lot of us think it's Jehovah Shalom. It's Shalom. Jehovah Shalom, right? And so that's missing an L. Sorry about that. That's not your fault. That's mine. I misspelt it. I told you. Right? I have it spelt right every other place except for the big title of Jehovah Shalom. Guys, if you need to know the order, I have it in the sermon. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shalom means peace or absent of strife or complete or sound. Used together, Jehovah Shalom means the Lord is peace. When it seems like the whole world is against you or that you're completely unable to deal with whatever chaos is in front of you, turn to the God of peace, who you can find comfort and strength in, because Jehovah is peace. If that's you right now and you need peace in your life and you need to be reminded that a lot of things are going around and you need the peace of God, stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you right now. We thank you, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Right now, there are a lot of people standing on shaky ground. There's a lot of things going on, and in their life they got chaos, and they've lost all hope in some situations. I pray that the peace of God that surpasses our understanding fall upon them right now from the top of the head to the bottom of their feet. May they feel the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and may they feel the peace of Jehovah right now. We thank you, God, and we lift up Afghanistan to you right now. We pray for peace in the name of Jesus. We lift up that country to you right now. I realize it's been 1,000 years of wars, but God, you are Jehovah. You are the God of peace, and we call forth Jehovah Shalom right now over Afghanistan, and we pray for the people that are lost. We pray for the women. We pray for the children. We pray for the ones that helped America. We pray for the Christians over there. We pray for the Americans right now. We pray for peace. Man, you can do miracles. We don't understand how that could even take place. But one word, one move from the God of creator of all, you can do it. And we come forth right now and we claim it in the name of Jesus. Peace. Just Jesus, like you stood up on the boat and you said, winds be still. We ask war be still in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Peace, peace, peace. Jehovah is peace. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Four more. Now, a lot of you know this one and say it often, Jehovah Jireh. Right? I'd sing the song. I love the song, Jireh. But I don't want to ruin it for you guys. I want you to... Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. Jireh means two things. It means this, to see or to provide. Now get this. I need you to tap into what I just taught on, okay? God provided a ram for Abraham as a sacrifice. So on Mount Moriah, where God provided Abraham the ram, Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh. Now remember, when he went up, his son said, "Hey, Daddy, a lot of firewood. There's a thing that stabs things here, very sharp. Where's the sacrifice?" And did Abraham say to his son, "It's you, boy"? No, because he would run. "Ah, my daddy crazy. Right, he's crazy." No, your daddy's full of faith. He said this, "Son, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh." And what happened? To the very last thing, I'm telling you right now, there's people in here right now by faith, Jehovah Jireh, you're on the very last step. You are ready to stab. And an angel's coming, and he's going to grab that and say, "Look over there." See, it's not just providing, it's also seeing. Jireh means both see or provide. And sometimes you got to see the ram before you get the ram and sacrifice the ram. Before you have that provision, you got to see it. Remember, faith isn't thanking God for what he's already done. It's thanking him for what he's going to do. Okay? If you need provision, when it seems like all things are lost, God is arranging things behind the scenes so they will be just in the right place, exactly in the right time that you need it. Why? Because the Lord's nature is to provide. Our daddy gives good gifts. If you need Jehovah Jireh, you need to see something or you need provision, stand to your feet right now as we pray. Jehovah Jireh, I pray right now, you are the provider. You are the Lord that will provide. God, we don't have to understand, but we do have to pray. So we pray right now, not with understanding, but with faith that you're going to provide whatever it is. Each and every person right in here, right now, you just claim forth what you need provision for. If it's for your family, if it's for provision monetary values, if it's whatever it is he needs to provide, or there's something in your life, or your family's a mess and you need God to provide that things are going to take place, or you need provision of a job, you need provision of health. I don't know what you need. You need provision. You need God to step in. I want you to just claim forth with your mouth right now. Just say what it is. Jehovah Jireh, we come to you right now in the nature of God, our provider. We claim right now that you will provide like only you can provide. And we don't ask for what we want, humanly speaking. We want to ask for what you want to give us in the midst of our need. We thank you, Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Amen. Amen. Three more. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. The Lord who heals you. The Lord who heals you. Now, Rapha means this. It means two things, one or the other. To heal or to make healthful. Now, a lot of times we don't want healing in our body because we're like, well, it's not a terminal cancer. It's not a terminal disease. I'm not missing limbs. I'm not, you know, it's not this big thing. But Jehovah Rapha also means to be healthful. You got any ailment in your body, you call forth and you pray to Jehovah Rapha. Because Jehovah and Rapha together means the Lord who heals you. The truth in God's name applies equally to this, emotionally. Now we have walked through, if you live here, we have walked through derecho. We've walked through COVID. We've walked through some racial divide. We've walked through some hot messes. And emotionally speaking, you think just because you dress up on Sunday, we don't see all that hot mess? We know. Why we know? Because we recognize something else we're also going through. Emotionally, the Lord who can heal you emotionally, he can heal you psychologically. You do not have to live with that thing the doctor said you will always have. You don't have to. You will if you choose to, and if you want to take that medicine forever, you do. Listen to God. And God wants to heal you. I'm not saying get rid of all your pills, get rid of everything, and forget everything. I'm not saying that. You are also human. You need to ask God, and in the right time, He will heal you through your faith. So, but you have to ask God, and God knows in the right time when you're ready, your faith will be activated, and you need to say, God, just keep asking Him. God, take this, take this, take this. And one of these days, I'm telling you, right here, I'm believing it. On this pulpit, or on this this top right here, where this altar, I believe there's going to be not only a medicine, but there's going to be all kinds of ailment things that people take. I mean, marijuana. There's going to be cigarettes. There's going to be prescription pills. There's going to be all kinds of... God is Jehovah Rapha, and He can heal you. He can heal you. He can set you free from all of that sickness. The truth in God's name applies equally to emotionally, psychologically, and also physical healing. As well as it also speaks to nations and individuals. God can heal like no one else. If you need a healing in your body, stand to your feet right now. You need a healing, supernatural healing. By the power of Jesus, we thank you right now. You are Jehovah. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are our healer. And I pray that right now, by the power and the stripes of Jesus, by faith, people are standing to their feet believing that there's a healing taking place. I pray that you do the miraculous, that when all things that the doctor says, all things humanly speaking, there's an intervention supernaturally from heaven. Heaven, we pray right now that the sickness that doesn't exist there in this room, it won't exist here. We thank you right now that you're making a way, that you're providing things. Speak to their hearts, their minds. I pray psychological healing in the name of Jesus. There's people that need to be healed in their minds. They need to be healed in their minds. That is a lie of the enemy. Be broken by the name and by the power of Jesus. We thank you right now, psychologically, emotionally speaking, that we don't know that what we know, we don't know where to go, and we're just a mess. All the littlest things set us off. By the peace of Jehovah, by Jehovah also, who is our healer right now. We thank you and we worship you. Jehovah Rapha, you are our healer. And I pray right now for any physical ailments right now, and by the power of Jesus, you put us together in our mommy's womb. You put us together in our mother's womb, and you knit us together so perfectly. And you know every hair on our head, you or lack thereof. You know every tear, God. You know everything. You know you named every star in the sky. You know everything. So right now, whatever it is that's really the problem, I pray that you find the root, great physician, and I pray that you heal that root. And if it needs to be removed, remove it. If it needs to be changed, change it. If it's some sort of cells that are going the wrong way and they're becoming destructive, reverse them right now in the name of Jesus. Reverse the cells. Reverse the blood. Reverse everything right now to be healing, not destructive, in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now for what you're doing. We pray for miracles, signs, and wonders because you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord who heals. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be healed. You may be healed. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Two more, and we're gonna end here. Jehovah Ra. These are two things that we need to remember where we're at right now in the midst of chaos. Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Ra means the shepherd, or to shepherd, or feed, or supply with food, or to be a good friend. Jehovah and Ra means the Lord is my shepherd. God is a friend who provides extravagant nourishment, protection, as well as rest for weary bodies and souls. Jehovah Ra can get us through any chaos we face. We serve the great shepherd. And a good shepherd leads you to where you need to go, not necessarily where you want to be. And so, there's people in here right now that are in chaos. There's people in here right now that you are weary. You don't know where the next step is. You don't know what to do. You're you're wondering, you're worrying, you need nourishment in your body, you need nourishment in your soul, you need protection. See, another thing about shepherds is this. David was one of the best shepherds that we've ever read about in the Word of God, and he killed a lion and a bear, a little boy with a lion and a bear. And how did he do it? With a stick. Why? Because he was also empowered by Jehovah Ra. The great shepherd showed him how to be a shepherd. And so there's some people that lead other people, including myself, that I need the great shepherd. I need Jehovah Ra to teach me how to be a great shepherd. So I can do things in, not in my own strength, but in God's strength. So if any of that is what you need, stand to your feet as we pray. Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. We pray for weary bodies and souls right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that you lead them to still waters. You lead them to the places that they need to be. That even though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they will not be harmed and no evil will come against them because you are Jehovah Ra. And we just thank you right now for the shepherd that you are, that you're a good friend, that you love us, you feed us, you supply us with all that we need. We ask that everybody in here who needs some sort of extravagant nourishment, if there's something in their body or even in their own life that they need to be nourished, to be built up, to be healthy, God, or protection. There's people right now that need to be protected against. It feels like all the enemies are coming against you. It feels like all odds are against you. Jehovah Ra, may you step in and be the great shepherd. Lead that person out the back door, even a front door, whatever, and no man or nothing will harm you because Jehovah Ra is there. The great shepherd is protecting you. We thank you. We worship you. And by faith, we believe that this is going to take place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, last one. And Walter and Walter's father, if you can get in up here, they're going to lead us in a song before we close. But here's the last thing, okay? This is Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Nisi. The Lord is my banner. Okay? The Lord is my banner. Now, Nisi means flag or banner. So together, Jehovah and Nisi means the Lord is my banner. Now get this. What does that mean? Now, we don't understand this very often, but our flag in the United States of America, every time you fly it, every time you put it up, we're reminded of the victory. Okay? This is not time to just celebrate America. This is time to celebrate the victory because Jehovah Nisi is our banner. When he is our banner and things are waved over us, his banner over me is love, right? These things that are over us, it reminds us of this. God himself is our banner. He is our victory. He gives us hope and a focus, and he's the one who wins our battles. Jehovah Nisi is our victory. All y'all, we got things in our life. I want y'all to stand. Because if you don't stand on this and you don't think you need a victory, then you obviously aren't getting involved in any kind of war. You're not getting involved with any kind of battle. You're not getting involved with anything. Thank you. We need Jehovah Nisi to be our victory. And I'm not talking about things right now only. I'm talking about things that we're going to face in the future. Persecution's coming to the church in America. It is already here. It is already here. But we serve Jehovah Nisi, the banner, the victory. Jehovah, our Lord, our God, Yahweh, creator of all, is Jehovah Nisi, our victory. I want us just to pray. Will you extend your hands to heaven right now? Father, we just thank you right now. We love you. We worship you. You're a good God. We thank you for the names that you've put in the word. But right now, we need a victory in our lives. Even though we don't see it, even though we don't understand it, even if we don't know it, your word says we don't worry about anything, but we pray about all things. So whatever victory we need in our name, we claim it right now, Jehovah Nisi. Step in. We have the victory. You are our banner. You are our victory. May you be over us right now. May it start with love, because your banner over us is love. Love that we can't explain. Love that is anything that we cannot experience here on earth. May the love of God set us free. The love of God encourage us, build us up, edify us. May the love of God be everything that we need. May it fill us with compassion for the lost. May it be filled with generosity to the ones that need it. May it be filled with freedom right now. Jehovah Nisi, we need a victory in your name, in our lives right now. Jehovah Nisi, we thank you in advance. We thank you in advance for the victory that we will see. It is in your name. It is in your plan. Thank you. In Jesus' glorious name. God's church said, amen. Amen.
How can I say things for a thing you have done for me? Beans and undeserved, did you give to pro-life for me? The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and never have to be, I will all to thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood he has saved me, with his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the thing he has done. Just let me live my life, let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And so I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. Adios sea la gloria. Adios sea la gloria. Su gran salvación, with his blood, come on, church, he has saved me, with his power he has raised me. And to God be the glory for the thing. For the things, for your life, for your church, for Cedar Rapids, for United States. Thank you, Jesus, thank you. He has done.